This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, reader. I'm Cindy Burnett. Welcome to my award-winning podcast, Thoughts from a Page, which is a member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. On the show, I chat with authors whose books I have enjoyed about their new releases, and I give you a peek behind the curtain of the publishing industry with my Behind the Scenes series. With so many books coming out weekly, it can be hard to decide what to read, so I find the best ones and share them with you. If you're looking for a community of readers, bonus content, and a chance to read books before they hit the shelves, I hope you'll consider joining my Patreon group, which is filled with a wonderful bunch of book lovers. The link to join is in the show notes. Today, instead of my regular show, I am running one of my favorite episodes from a podcast that I listen to regularly and love, Book Bumble, which is hosted by Leslie Hopping and Laura Pleasance. I hope you enjoy this episode, and if you do not already listen to them, go and subscribe to their show and catch up on all of their wonderful backlist. They have insightful conversations about such a variety of books, and I always add something to my TBR, and I bet you will too. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the Professional Book Nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to Book Bumble, the podcast for people who love to read. In each episode, we'll introduce a stack of books that are tied together with a common connection to help take a deeper dive into each story.
We provide a space to talk books that is friendly and deep with a little hint of geek.
I'm Laura Pleasance.
And I'm Leslie Hopping.
And we are two friends who love spending time with our families, visiting libraries, and reading great books.
We are so happy you joined us. Let's get started.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Laura. Welcome, everyone. This is episode 7 of season 2. Today, our stack of books is tied together with a common theme of surprises. There are many different ways to be surprised while reading a great book, as yes. I'm sure you all know. So settle in and enjoy a few surprises we are going to send your way.
I'm excited.
Me too. What book do you want to start with?
Okay. I want to start with The Last Lifeboat by Hazel Gaynor, which was published in hardback in April of 2023 and then came right out in paperback in June.
Okay.
And we've read several of her books, the most recent one being When We Were Young and Brave, which we featured on another episode. And I really like her books because she takes these historical events that you may not be really familiar with and brings them to light. And that's exactly what this book does. So it's historical fiction, and it totally surprised me because I had never heard of this event. And it's really tragic that inspired this book. And if you read it, which you should, the note at the end by the author is not to be missed. I just I feel like I just delve into these historical notes or author's notes. Mm-hmm. And this one is going to send you down a rabbit hole.
Wonderful.
I'm going to be honest, though, based on the title and the cover, I thought it was going to be about the Titanic.
I remember you saying that, and this book is actually the one that inspired in our conversation about having one about being surprised.
Yes,
it was. You were like, I was so surprised.
I was shocked. Mm-hmm. So that's another way that I'm surprised by this mm-hmm. book. So let me tell you more about the great story of this amazing novel. So it's told from the perspective of two women in 1940 England. Alice, who's happy living a really quiet life, but she really dreams of doing something unexpected or courageous to help the war effort. She just kind of feels like she's not doing anything mm-hmm. or not doing enough. And then Lily, who's a widowed mom of these two really cute young children, Georgie and Arthur, and she's trying to decide what's the best way to keep her children safe from a Nazi invasion that everyone's expecting, and also from nightly bombing. So that's another thing that surprised me, because I didn't know that in Great Britain, they were expecting the Nazis to invade at one point. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was more focused on the bombings and the Blitz and things like that.
Right.
So she's trying to figure out what should she do to keep her kids safe. So enter CORB, C-O-R-B.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get this right. It stands for the Children's Overseas Reception Board.
Oh.
And it promised to safely evacuate children by sea to places like Canada or Australia.
Okay.
And it seems to be the answer that both of the characters are seeking, because Alice signs up. So Alice is a teacher.
Okay.
And she signs up as an escort mm-hmm. on a ship to guide these children to their temporary safe homes. And Lily makes the absolutely heart-wrenching decision to send Georgie and Arthur across the ocean to Canada. Can you imagine what that would be like? So, and it was, she was just so conflicted they did have bomb shelters, but if the Nazis came, a bomb shelter wasn't going to cut it. So, They get on the boat, and when a German U-boat torpedoes and sinks the ship that Alice, Georgie, and Arthur are on, there's one missing lifeboat lost and adrift in the ocean. And then Lily and Alice's lives become intertwined forever.
Oh.
So it's just so, I mean, had you ever heard of that before?
No.
Me neither. Mm-mm. No, I had heard about, you know, the children being evacuated to the countryside.
Right. In England.
Right.
Taking them to England as the safe place.
Exactly. And we did read Beyond That, the Sea, where she was evacuated to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, you know, basically a whole ship of children that were going. And this particular ship was going to Canada. So here's some ways that this, I mean, this was just an excellent book, and here's some ways that it surprised me. So the secondary characters were so good. Hazel Gaynor includes these great storylines of Alice's brother and sister, Lily's husband, and some great backstories for both Alice and Lily that make them really three-dimensional characters. And I think it would have been easy to just focus on the action in this story, the sinking of the ship and the aftermath. But the surprise here for me is that there's so much more depth here.
Mm.
The author also did a fabulous job of helping us get to know Georgie, who, by the way, is a little girl, Arthur, and a couple of the other children on the ship. And often I just feel like children are kind of footnotes. Unless it's, you know, a middle grade novel.
Right.
And I really got into how she wrote these kids so that they seemed like real children.
Mm-hmm.
Very well
made
done.
You care about every single person, it sounds like.
Really well done. So the other thing that she did, which is really surprising, and I really can't think of a book that I've read recently that did this, but she did these portraits of men who didn't want to be in this war. And I feel like we often read about the reluctant heroes, you know, the tender, kind of turned tough guy, or like the unlikely resistance fighter. But in this story, Hazel Gaynor includes a conscientious objector.
Okay.
And also some men who are looking for a way out of the war, however they can find it. So I thought that was really interesting and thought-provoking.
Yes, because that had to exist.
Yes.
You didn't just have everyone dying to fight.
And being a hero.
Right.
So I thought, you know, it really made me think about the reasons and also the consequences that the characters had, because they all had consequences for that. The other wonderful surprise to me was the inclusion of some diary entries from a real program called Mass Observation. And you can read more about that in the historical note at the end of the book. But know that these diary entries appear throughout the book, and they provide insights into what the real people were living through at the time. And I love them because some are about everyday things, like a wedding anniversary.
Okay.
And then some relate to the sinking of the children's transport ship. Some of them kind of detail, they're like more into someone's thoughts and emotions about the war. And all of them are surprising and just really incredible views into the past. And they're all by different people. So it's not just one person's diary.
I think that's really neat.
I think it's amazing that somebody thought of that at the time. Like, let's do that and save it and for posterity. Yeah.
And that's really neat. It must have come up during her research, and she probably just really wanted to include it, which even makes it more three-dimensional.
Yeah. And I love just the way it adds that depth to the story, because you've got all the cool things that are going on in the story. Then you've got these diary entries every once in a while that kind of set the stage for what's going to happen in that chapter.
That's how they're used to kind of
to set the stage. Okay. So also, thank you. It has an epilogue.
Oh.
Thank you, thank you, thank you to the author. It was so satisfying to read about what happened to these fictional characters and then how they continued on. And I know they're just characters in a book, but doesn't that just always hit the sweet spot when there's an epilogue?
And you don't always need it, but these kinds of things that are so, I'll say for me, anxiety provoking, you just really love the characters. Even though they're fake, you just want to know.
Yes.
You want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that goes into what I was going to say next, because the most anxiety-provoking scenes are the ones in the lifeboat.
Oh.
But they are so excellent. You just get a real sense of place. She has these great descriptions of the different, like, faces and personalities of the ocean.
Oh.
And she,
interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And she really shows the hope and honestly just the desperation of the souls that were on board in such a compelling way. And remember, this part really happened. There was a lifeboat that they didn't know about, and it was just out there drifting along with people on it. A lot of character development was done in these sections, and they're really some of my favorites in the book, which surprised me because that would be one of my absolute biggest fears, would be to be adrift on the ocean in a lifeboat with a lot of people I didn't know and that nobody knew, that we were out there.
I mean, or even, what was her name, Lily?
Not
having accounted for where those people are.
Yeah.
Like the loved ones.
Yes.
Because you just don't, you don't have close, you don't know.
Yeah. And so I want to hear what you think when you read it, because it surprised me that I thought at first, like, I'm going to have to skim these over because I'm going to get so upset. But they were really among the best part of the book, I thought, my favorite scenes. And also, the cover is amazing. It It shows a very specific view of the lifeboat. And you're going to see what I mean after you read the story. I think it was a very intentional choice of what is shown on the cover. Mm-hmm. And before you read it, you're just going to be like, oh, you know, that's a lifeboat in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. But after you read it, you're going to see what I mean. It was very, I think it was chosen purposefully.
I love that.
So it's pretty cool. It's a well-researched and really fascinating story of something I didn't know anything about. I highly recommend it. And that's The Last Lifeboat by Hazel Gaynor.
That's someone I'd like to look at some of her backlist.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Those times
so
where
many.
Need, yes. And those times where you need to read something that you know is going to be well written.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time you can just pick up some of those author's books, backlist books, and say, okay, I'm going to read this because I know it'll be good.
Yeah. You her know. Books are really, they're just very well researched and they're good.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
Okay.
Enough about that. What book do you want to tell us about? What surprised you?
Well, I'd like to tag on a book to the stack by Simone St. James titled The Broken Girls. Ms. St. James has also written The Book of Cold Cases, The Sundown Motel, and The Haunting of Mattie Claire. Have you read any of those books?
I have not, but I have heard of The Book of Cold Cases.
And The Sundown Motel I have heard of. But it looked like, don't quote me, I think The Haunting of Mattie Claire was her first, and it was an award-winning book, and I love a good creepy story.
This sounds so good.
She seems to love writing these haunting tales. In fact, it sounds like she wrote her first when she was in high school, which I love because I tried to write a murder mystery.
That's
I am
right.
not comparing myself to this author.
No.
By the way.
Yes.
But... you know, that inspiration and you just, you have time and energy. Well, she started and then she took off. She actually worked in another business, but she just kept writing until she could make writing her full-time position.
You know, I wrote a book, or not a book, a story when I was in high school. It was called The Blue Rose. And it was, I tried to make it like really creepy and I still have it and
you do?
It's terrible.
It's mine is terrible
when
as well.
When I look back on it, that's what I loved reading when I was
me
that
too.
Age, like creepy haunting things.
Yes, me too.
So The Blue Rose, look for that.
Look for it on
what
shelves.
What was your book called?
The Neighborhood.
Oh.
Yeah, it was about a bunch of friends and one of them was a killer.
Oh God. But yours was a book.
Yes.
Yeah, mine was just a short story.
Well,
written in a notebook, like a three-ring binder that you rip the pages out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a pink cover.
Mine was printed on that paper, the printer paper that had the little holes on the side.
Yes, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I still have it, too.
I mean,
it's horrible.
this could be our next career. Look for
Stay
this
tuned.
Coming out
Stay
soon.
Tuned.
Okay, tell us about
All
The
right.
Broken Girls.
So The Broken Girls came out in 2018. So it's a bit of a backlist book. So you should be able to get it in hand. And I'm going to suggest that you do.
Okay.
So here's the starting point. In this book, we have two timelines. The first is set in Vermont in 1950. Idlewood Hall houses the girls no one else wants. Illegitimate, troublemakers, and just generally the girls no one wants in their homes anymore. Mm. It's a pretty sad situation. They just literally come and drop them off.
That's sad.
And they have one visitation a month. And sometimes the families come in, sometimes they don't.
They don't. Okay.
It's in this house where four girls, roommates, bond over being unwanted, having a hard time trusting others, and the fact that they all agree with the rumors, Idlewood Hall is haunted. Mary Hand, in her black dress and veil, is said to have frozen to death after being locked out of her house that used to sit on the property before the hall was built. She's seen wandering the land, haunting the property, and whispering what scares each person the most.
Oh my gosh.
She knows things that she should not.
Okay.
Yeah. But Roberta, Sonia, Cece, and Katie are a really strong four. And when Sonia never comes back from this unexpected visit to her aunt and uncle into their house, her friends know something horrible's happened, that she's dead, because she would have come back. There's no other explanation. Even though the adults around them assume she ran off with the boy, and because that's like generally their go-to.
Okay.
These bad girls are going to run off and be unresponsible. So she's just easily forgotten, but never forgotten by her friends. The second timeline is in the same small town in Vermont in 2014. 20 years ago, Fiona's big sister, Deb, was murdered and dropped off on the old field hockey field of the abandoned boarding school, Idlewood Hall. So many nights, Fiona finds herself walking the road by the school, trying to make sense of the horrible trauma of losing her sister. The killer was Deb's boyfriend, Tim, and he's in jail, but she just can't move on. She's kind of even contemplating, was it really him? Just all doesn't make sense to her, and she can't push it away. So Fiona is a journalist like her father, and when she discovers that an unknown wealthy family has purchased the abandoned school and plans to redo it and make it into a new girls' boarding school, she feels the need to find out why.
Okay, that's just, to me, that's not a good idea.
No.
To revitalize this terrible place.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much horrible.
Yeah,
there are so many horrible memories that have happened there. So she asked to write a story about the woman and her son who are choosing to restore it. And while walking the buildings for her story and taking pictures, the workers outside all start to congregate. You can tell something's wrong. A body has been found.
Oh, geez.
A body that's been stuffed in an old well for 60 years.
Oh, gosh.
A body that can't tell the story of her death. So Fiona decides she wants to tell it for her.
Oh.
So this book was surprising to me because I really thought it was just going to be about just about the murder of a young girl.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be about that and the discovery of her murderer. I thought it would be the journey of Fiona and how she could heal through finding out the story that the poor girl couldn't tell. But obviously, because I was surprised, it was just so much more. There was a lot about the class system. Tim, the boyfriend who murdered Deb, was from a very wealthy family. They owned the land of the Idlewood Hall. They, you know, they were best friends with the police chief. It was this very, there was a big class system. Who was buddies? Who golfed with each other? And they took care of each other.
So the good old boys system.
You get to see some of that. And about gender expectations in the 1950s. It was about World War II, surprisingly, some repercussions from that. And it was about family history, good or bad. And it was about a father and daughter and how they help each other to heal. And it was about a ghost with an unresolved past. And I love because that it's not just used as a creepy part. It's like a little tie-in through the whole story. So I really loved this book because it wasn't just a silly mystery, which I enjoy sometimes. One that's predictable, one that I, you know, just enjoy the journey. But it was so much deeper and fuller than that. The characters had a lot of depth and the story had a lot of just branches that you had to follow along with to see where the story was going to go. And the relationship between Roberta, Cece, Katie, and Sonia was really touching. They were all very different and had different histories that led them to the same place. One of them was the illegitimate child of a wealthy landowner, and her mom was the housemaid.
Okay.
One of them, her uncle had just come back from the war and she walked in on him trying to kill himself and she went mute for a little bit. And so her parents didn't want to deal with that. So they sent her off. He just had a lot of people that just didn't all these people would just drop the girls off.
Yeah. Like throwing them away.
Yes.
Like, we don't want to deal with your, whatever your issue is. Yeah. So we don't want you anymore. So bye-bye.
Yeah. And that, and it connects with the fact that Deb was dumped there too as garbage almost just in the middle of the field. Like, not even hidden, just
dumped out.
Dumped. And somehow they just, even though they were from different backgrounds, they understood each other more than anyone ever had. The story is hopeless and hopeful at the same time. And as you're reading, you just feel that they will make something out of their lives, these four girls, until Sonia's disappearance. And then it takes on a little bit of a different path.
Yeah.
Fiona was a super strong heroine. She was tough and feisty while still being broken and vulnerable, which I love in a main character, just that raw
honesty. The flaws and everything.
And the tie together that they were really all, Fiona included, they were all broken girls. And I enjoyed every minute of the book. In fact, I was trying to finish the book in the hallway at school as I walked to pick up my kids from the lunchroom. And one of our friends, Tammy, saw me and looked at me and kind of winked and said, "I totally understand." It's great to have such great bookish friends.
It is.
And that was The Broken Girls by Simone St. James.
Oh, that sounds really good. And I've heard of Simone St. James and seen her books. Never read one of them, but now this is making me feel like I just found a new author that I want to read everything she's written.
Yeah, just so much depth to all the characters, the backstories. And I mean, I even loved the ghost as one of the Mary Hand. I just, her story was, gave me chills, not just because I was scared, but her background story. Yeah. She was broken too.
I like these kind of, this kind of book because you're expecting it to be a little bit on the surface or superficial, and
definitely.
It ends up being so much deeper than you thought.
So I'm excited to try some of her other books.
Me too. Okay. All right. Well, I have another book to add to this stack, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's called Northwoods by Daniel Mason. It was published in September of 2023, and it has this great cover, which kind of looks like a wood cutting print, colorful, of a panther.
Yes.
And that was one of the things, I had read some reviews on it, but that was one of the things that really drew me to the book was the cover. So let me tell you about the book first, and then I'm going to tell you why I put it in this stack of being surprising. So here's a starting point. It all starts with a Puritan couple who's running away together, and then a cabin in the woods. And it's the story of this one yellow house and all those who inhabit it after this Puritan couple. So some of the stewards of the house include, and this is in no particular order, a panther who's on the cover, a fugitive trying to escape slavery with her baby, a Revolutionary War soldier who turns into an apple grower, twin spinsters, were really interesting, a painter who's in love with someone who's forbidden, and lots more fascinating characters, including a beetle.
Oh, like a bug beetle.
A bug beetle.
Okay.
Yes. And I definitely had favorites. One of my favorites was a young man who had mental illness. And some of the reasons or thing underlying causes of his mental illness are extremely surprising. So that was one of my favorite stories, but I loved a lot of them. The way that the author tells these stories and then weaves them together into this super imaginative and perfect ending was amazing. And it was one of these endings where you had to reread it. So I reread it a couple of times. It just, it tied every single part of the book together. And it was so perfect and so completely unexpected that I just had to experience it again.
It's funny because that means that ending just gave you so many different feelings that you had to kind of, had that before,
yes.
Not on tons, but I just want to read that final scene.
Yeah, again.
One more time.
Because, And I mean, talk about emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm. There were so many through this book. So there were some times when I was completely creeped out by some of the situations that were just scary and terrible, and characters that weren't very nice and that were downright odd and creepy.
Right. It wouldn't be a very good story if it was just all these wonderful people.
No. Yeah. No. I felt a lot of empathy for people, and there were just all kinds of things going through my mind as I was reading, all the things, all the feels. It was just a complex, really wonderful story. So the book surprised me because I thought I was going to abandon it at first.
You did.
I think I texted you a picture of it and just said, this is weird.
You did. Just the picture. That's exactly. It just said, this is weird. And I think my next question was, are you abandoning it?
And it is such a weird book, but in the most delightful and wonderful way. And I didn't end up abandoning it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up really, really loving it. So I was kind of thrown off by the format at first because they're short stories. Mm-hmm. And at first I couldn't get into them. But as I read, I began to notice the way they all connected, and by by the middle, but it happened sooner than that. I was just all in, and especially by the end. So I guess I was expecting this like super linear way of telling the story, like the Puritan couple, Charity and
Frederick,
you know, ran away from their colony because no one supported their love. And they built the cabin, and then they had children, and then their children grew up and inherited the cabin, and, you know, something else happened. And I thought it was just
an obvious connection between the people and the cabin.
Yeah. That it was just going to go on and on until it came to the present. But although it does go on until it comes to the present, these characters that inhabit this home are, they're connected in ways, but they're also really different. So it wasn't this traditional way of telling a story.
That's really neat.
And I was really, really into it. It's just really different and interesting the way it's put together. And there's also all of these pictures and diagrams and letters and songs that appear throughout the book. Just all kinds of things that make it so inventive and really strange, but in a really good way.
So probably not a great audiobook option?
I would say not for me. Okay. I would say for sure in print, because if you were doing audio, you would miss all of these interesting photos and diagrams that give you more insight into, and some of them were just kind of weird, and I would read the chapter and then I would have to go back, or that's I would awesome, see the though. Image and then go back to see like how like does that. This connect. So the other thing is the natural environment is a really central motif right up until the very end. And just the descriptions of the land surrounding the yellow house and the weather surrounding the house, the forest, the apples, all of it is alive. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. And sometimes, especially when I travel, I think, well, not sometimes, really all the time, I think about the places I'm in. Like if I'm by a creek or a mountain, and I wonder, what was this place like in the past? Like, what was it like 100 years ago or 200 years ago? And what is this place going to be like in the future?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think of maybe a place that you went this summer, mm-hmm. that place right now, we're sitting here recording, but that place is where it is doing mm-hmm. whatever it does.
Yeah.
And these are the things that run through my mind a lot mm-hmm. when I go different places. I just think it's really fascinating. And mm-hmm. in this story, you get to see what happens to a place over time.
Yeah, I love that.
And that other people in the story don't know
right.
that this happened.
Right.
And so it's just such a sense of place. Mm-hmm. It's just like a genre-bending book.
Sounds like it.
It really is.
I mean, I do that. We used to have a really creepy, I called it creepy, old rundown house on our street mm-hmm. where I grew up, and I'd have to walk by it every day. And I would always think, what did it look like before? Mm-hmm. Who lived there? Were the other houses there?
Yeah.
While that house was there.
Yeah.
What about when the road was gone? Was that, you know?
Right.
It's just really neat to think
about.
So
I think you would really like this book mm-hmm. because it's like places have a history.
Right.
And even, you know, the thing that was neat about this book is there were a couple characters that weren't people.
Right.
The panther and the beetle.
It's very realistic.
Yeah.
And it's just people were living there.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I did.
That's really neat.
Really, really great. So if you want to try something really original, mm-hmm. you should definitely pick this up. And I hope I did a good job to your book, Daniel Mason, because it is fantastic. And it's just, it should win awards, and it's already on a lot of lists for best of the year.
Goodreads has it on favorite of 2023 as a choice.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that many times now. A lot of stories are formulaic.
Yeah.
I mean, still great, but
a
definite formula like movies have. But this one seems out of the norm. And
it's
I really
way
like that.
Out of the box.
We like weird. Like weird and strange are good words to us.
Little hint of geek, right?
Yes.
So
I think that sounds – you got me to want to read it.
Good.
Yes.
And I think it would be a good just to kind of challenge yourself to step mm-hmm. out of your comfort zone and read something – really original.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay. Read it. What do you want to share next?
Okay. Well, I want to share Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Moss.
Okay. This is one of your authors.
It is fantasy, right? Yes. Fantasy. This book came out in 2012, which is hilarious because I was just telling you that I need to read some more backlist books because all mm-hmm. I'm reading right now are new books.
Yes. You did just say that right before we turned the microphone on.
But both of my books are okay. Well, I'm just a liar to myself. Mm-hmm. it seems to be her first series, and it's the first in a series of 5 books. She also wrote the Court of Thorns and Roses series, which is one I brought, and the Crescent City series. Crescent City series is the only one I have not jumped into yet.
Okay.
And this is an author that my daughter really likes. So I actually borrowed it from her, and she's excited. She has number 2 on her list for Christmas, and we were arguing about who got to read it first.
Oh, did
even
she
though it's
win?
Not really, yeah, it's not really an argument since it's on her Christmas list.
Yeah,
but I tried. I thought maybe if I made sad mom eyes, but she didn't fall for it. So here's the starting point for Throne of Glass. Selena Sardothian had a very hard life. We don't quite know. My daughter says you find out more as the series goes on. But while we don't know exactly how she was orphaned, she woke up like laying in the middle of her 2 parents that had passed away but been killed.
Okay.
So you know, but you have no idea why or how. She ends up being snatched up to be trained by the king of assassins, trained to steal and kill for a living. And apparently she's very good at it. So her name is known across the country.
Okay.
Eventually, she was caught and put in a horrible prison, one that most people don't serve out their sentence because most don't survive for long.
Okay.
But Selena has survived. And one day she is released to become the prince's champion. So the prince sends his captain of the guard, Kale, to come and collect her. to be his champion. So if she agrees to come to the capital city and fight against 23 other killers, thieves, warriors, other people's champions, she will earn her freedom after serving the current king for 4 years.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it's funny because she's really not worried. She's very haughty about her skills. Mm. She's really not concerned about losing the tournament.
Okay.
She has very strong feelings of disgust for the king.
Okay.
She kind of, I don't know, maybe describe her a little bit of a Robin Hood type.
Okay.
She does not like the wealthy that take advantage of the poor. Mm-hmm. So she's endearing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But she's kind of like a haughty teenager.
Okay.
She's not a teenager, but she kind of has
little
that
pompous
attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And her first inkling is, well, I'm just going to escape. Mm. During the tournament.
Yeah.
Smart. So then I don't have to serve my 4 years.
Yeah.
But she's heavily watched. She's introduced as a different person because so many people know her name.
Oh.
They can't say who it really is.
She has some fame.
She does.
Okay.
So they introduce her as a jewel thief.
Okay.
Lillian. So she's wearing gowns and dressing and things like that.
Okay.
She kind of gets a little bit into that. So the crown prince, Dorian, provokes her while making her feel some things she hasn't felt for some time. And the captain of the guard, Kale, continually protects and cares for her, also causing her to feel another set of feelings she hasn't had ever before. So there's a little bit of that young adult fantasy love triangle there, but it doesn't get out of control or too mushy.
Okay.
Anything like that. So as if the tournament isn't dangerous enough, they have competitions every 3 days, things like poisoning. So they have like 8 bottles of things and they have to put them in order from the least dangerous to the most dangerous.
Wow.
And then they have to drink what they think is the least dangerous.
It's kind of like a reality show.
It is. And then someone is kicked off.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed that.
Okay,
but
yeah.
But as if that isn't dangerous enough, there's this unimaginable evil that takes the form of something I don't want to ruin that lurks deep in the bowels of the castle. And it's being brought to the surface to serve some kind of evil purpose. I love the detail of these hidden tunnels and tombs under the castle. I think that's always
very
cool.
Yeah, I love it.
So little by little, this evil is killing off some of Selena's competitors. So the tournament takes on a new and deadly twist she wasn't quite prepared for. But who's ever prepared for the past to meet the present? And is Selena ready to accept what she begins to be involved in? There's a lot to enjoy in this book. I read some reviews. People were taking it a bit too, I felt, just my opinion, too seriously. Saying things like, that would never happen. Well,
no,
it's a fantasy.
It's a fantasy
involving younger people.
Right. And that's part of the fun of a fantasy, it would never happen.
I mean, Fourth Wing, how popular that got.
Right.
It was the whole thing. If you rested in the area of like, that would never happen, you would miss the whole trip.
You would.
The journey.
Don't you feel like that's the same with a lot of books? I mean, unless it's a memoir, like,
right.
There's a lot of things in books that would never happen.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it reminds me of when people rate a book like number one because it arrived damaged.
Yeah. The story? No. Yeah. The book,
you know,
not the author's fault.
Did you know that I wrote a fantasy, like a little novella type when I was in eighth grade?
Yes.
It's called The Blue Rose.
It was
written in a spiral notebook.
Oh.
And it was terrible.
Nice.
But it was a fantasy. Now, I believe you have also written a fantasy. Yours was a book.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me about the neighborhood. Tell me about the premise.
Friends. You know, just friends someone in the friend group is killing everyone else.
Yeah, that sounds
good. And it was, they were all named after my friends in high school. And okay. I reread it. It was printed off on, it's like 200 pages.
Oh.
Printed off on the paper from the printer that had the little holes.
Yes.
On the sides.
Oh, gosh, I can so picture this.
And it's horrible.
Yeah. Isn't that horrible? Funny?
I would say things like, and then she saw a note on top of her backpack.
Yeah.
And it said, I'm watching you.
Oh. Scary.
Wow.
That's really so creative.
So everyone just keep an eye out for,
for both
new
of
books.
Those. They might
the
come
neighborhood
out.
And
the blue rose. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was amazing because a rose could never be blue. Okay. Anyways, this book sounds way better than what I created.
It is. And it's a fantasy. Just a really enjoyable read. I like this author. She just, she writes a fun story. I like going on the journey with her.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the fantasies are so much so that it's not a realistic fantasy at all. It is just totally made up. So I also love the relationship with Selena and Princess Nehemia, who's like a delegate almost coming from country that is being treated poorly and people are being killed by this king.
Okay.
So she's actually in a lot of danger there. So they create quite a nice relationship, and I like the ups and downs of that. So if you want to just dive in and enjoy the journey of this great fantasy, you should pick it up. That was Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas.
Love it.
What do you have in your hand?
Okay. Oh, gosh. So I have this book that really and truly surprised me.
It's a little different.
It's a little.
From the one that I just
It's real different. And I kind of feel like this book sort of changed me in a way. So I want to talk about that a little bit more after I tell you what the book's about. But
perfect.
And also, tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I don't normally say this about a book, but I really do feel thankful that I read it because of how it sort of changed how I feel.
That's awesome.
It's really good. Okay,
so
it's called Simon Sort of Says. It's by Erin Bowe. Came out in January of 2023. And it's a middle grade novel, and it is magic. It's magical. So here's the starting point. Simon, he's 12, and he's in the seventh grade. He's a survivor of a school shooting when he was in fifth grade.
Oh.
And he and his parents, so this happened in like in a small town that was kind of enveloped by Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
So he and his parents moved to Grin and Barrett, Nebraska.
Is it real?
It's not a real place, but it kind of tells you everything you need to know about sort of the tone of the book.
Okay.
The way the author writes.
Mm-hmm.
Grin and Barrett, Nebraska is the only place in the country with no internet.
Oh.
And so they've gone there to try to start over and so that people can't discover who Simon is.
It's very smart.
So they live in a funeral home. And I should say also, Grin and Barrett, Nebraska is the home to this scientific community of people that are studying about aliens and space, physics, and all this kind of stuff. So they live in a funeral home because Simon's mom is an undertaker. And his dad is a deacon in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And Simon starts in a new school, and he's dealing with his PTSD. And his absolute dearest wish is that no one is going to discover who he is.
That's sad. It is.
And he makes some new friends. So Agate, who describes herself as an autistic person, and Kevin, who loves to change the color of his hair.
Oh, okay.
So kind of two friends that are maybe sort of on the,
quirky
and on the fringes. So Agate's family raises guide dogs, and Simon is gifted one to foster.
Okay.
So that in hopes that this little dog.
Yeah.
Little golden retriever will turn into a great guide dog.
Okay.
So when Kevin's mom does something that completely upends Simon's world, and I mean, when you read this part, you're going to have two feelings. One, you're going to think, like, why in the world did she do that?
Yeah.
And then two, you're also going to kind of think about her and her intentions behind what she did.
Okay.
But so it just creates a lot of issues for Simon and his family.
Yeah.
But as a result, Simon learns what it takes to kind of write his own story.
Oh.
So here are some of the things that I found totally surprising. First of all, the subject matter would not normally be something that I would read and I would stay kind of far away from. Because I feel as a teacher, this kind of heightened sense, heightened emotion about school shootings is
awareness.
Awareness, that's a good word.
Of it.
Is always in the back of our minds.
Yeah,
we're all, no matter where we are, if we're on a field trip, if we're in the lunchroom, if we're at recess, if we're teaching class, we're always thinking about how we can keep our students safe.
Right.
And that's something that can cause a lot of anxiety. So normally I would not be interested in reading about this, but it's treated with such a gentle and humorous hand that it's really accessible and it's extremely human and poignant. And I just feel like everything is treated exactly right. And she does such an outstanding job with revealing bit by bit Simon's PTSD and what he does to deal with it and what happened to Simon. It does not start out in the first sentence saying, you know, Simon was a victim of a school shooting, survivor of a school shooting.
So it starts to take place in Omaha or near Omaha?
No, no. It starts taking place when they've moved to Grin and Barrett.
And just those pieces get sprinkled in.
They get sprinkled in.
Story. I got you.
So it doesn't start out at all you even knowing that this has happened unless you read the book blurb.
Yeah.
And you should, because I feel like you should know that that is coming up so you can kind of prepare yourself. So she sprinkles in these serious things at just the right time. And then some humorous things as well.
That's great.
So it's never, it never feels heavy. The humor in this book is laugh out loud funny. Both of the parents have jobs that lend themselves to some really hysterical moments. And I would have read a book just about Simon, the boy who had to move to a small town that nobody's ever heard of without internet, whose mom was an undertaker and whose dad was a deacon in the Catholic Church, and just some of the crazy things that happen to both parents and in the community. And like, so for example, there's a peacock that's crazy that lives on the property of
At their
the funeral home and does these insane, these insane things. So
what a smart thing to add as an author. It's very smart writing.
So I love the way that Simon and his friends decide to do something really surprising in their community of this science and space kind of exploration people by sending a pretend message from aliens. And in the midst of this, and Simon isn't really sure he wants to be part of this, but
I love that's very kid.
And just the way they go about it is hysterical. But in the midst of all this, Simon makes this decision that's going to help him decide who he wants to be. It's so well done, and it's really funny, and it's going to surprise you what happens and then what Simon does in reaction to what happened. It's life-changing for him.
Okay.
And I thought the friendships were just so wonderful. They're just three kids. They're quirky. They accept each other for who and what they are. You're going to love reading about Agate's family, especially. Every kid, I think there's like seven kids in her family. Every one of them is named after a rock or a mineral. And one of their neighbors can't keep them straight, so he just calls her Rocky. And she has really authentic relationships with her siblings.
Okay.
That you're going to think are funny and just also very natural. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that she and Simon become these best friends. It's a really special and funny relationship. They support each other. They hurt each other. But they realize they need to stick together. Yeah. And I really like this book for showing like a really like a neurodivergent character, really different. Somebody that some kids might think is weird.
Yeah.
But she's just got these special gifts. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that she and Simon connect. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin comes in as well. But the primary friendship relationship is Agate and Simon. Hmm. I also really love the inclusion of how this school shooting traumatized Simon's parents and the way that they support, the three of them support each other.
Okay.
It's going to surprise you. It's going to make you laugh at times. There are some times when they're going through something and then, you know, it's a little serious and then suddenly the peacock does something crazy. Or it's just there's also a crazy squirrel in the story. It's just so kid appropriate. You really I can't stress that enough.
You're sharing a lot about these weird little animals and beasts.
Yeah.
And stories today.
All together. That's right. Yeah. The panther. So I just felt like this book has so much heart. Mm. It would be a great one to read with if you have a middle grader so that you could discuss together.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think it would really empower kids, and I think adults should read it too. For me, I think the way it changed me the most was it was just very healing to read about.
Might be a neat book for like a school district to do for their teachers even.
To read together as a book club or something. Yeah. So don't miss her comments at the end. They're going to enrich your reading experience. She talks about why she wrote the book. She talks about things that are real and things that aren't real. She talks about her own family. You're going, and they're all written in the same tone of the book. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's quirky.
Yeah.
It's just a very different approach. Okay. And I really, really appreciated it. So please pick this up. It's Simon Sort of Says by Erin Bow.
And I looked her up. It looks like she's written some fantasy type books, which is just interesting.
She's written a lot of books. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of her before.
So I'll have to check her out too.
Yeah, really, really wonderful.
Thanks for sharing.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So glad you joined us today. If you'd like some other titles that go along with this theme, check out our show notes from today's episode.
Please share this episode with a friend and check us out on Instagram at The Book Bumble. We'd love it if you would subscribe to our podcast. Join us next time with a new bundle of wonderful reads.
Until next time.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Hi there, I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardknowpodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I would love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook, where you can find me at Thoughts From A Page. If you enjoy the show, please consider joining my Patreon group to access bonus content and support the podcast. If you have a moment to rate the show or subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcasts, I would really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And please tell all of your friends about Thoughts From A Page. Word of mouth does wonders to help the show grow. I hope you'll tune in next time.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.